You're listening to RNIB Connect Radio. Now, let's talk a little bit about exercise because it can be a bit daunting. Somebody's asking you to go for a run or to go for a session in the gym. Maybe that's not your kind of thing. You want to start off a little bit slower, give a few things a different try. It could just be a walk or maybe even try your hand at a little bit of blind yoga. Hannah Wobreski is here from Henu Yoga for the Blind, who are running a free taster session on Saturday that you can get involved in. Thank you very much for joining us, Hannah. So tell us a little bit about Yoga for the Blind. What is it? What does it entail? How does it work?
Okay, so I started Yoga for the Blind or Heri Yoga for the Blind, my project, last year in the pandemic, and it started out as a podcast. So there is a podcast out there at the moment. I think it's 27 episodes. It came out of my desire to offer yoga to those with visual impairments. My father has a visual impairment, and I wanted to offer something for those with visual impairment in regards to movement and specifically yoga for a while. And then the pandemic hit and a class wasn't really an option. And so I started a podcast instead. The sessions are roughly 20 to 40 minutes, something in between there. And you can do them at your own leisure, at your own time and space, and whenever you feel like it. And they're very accessible. There are you can do them at home without any equipment. You don't need a yoga mat. You just need yourself some comfortable clothes and a good attitude, basically, just to give it a go, basically. And yeah, so that's Heri Yoga for the Blind, how it started. And it's been going quite well, actually. And I can see, you know, people are practicing, people are using the podcast. But now I'm really keen on also bringing a more life experience into Heri Yoga for the Blind as another offering. And so I'm offering a taster session on Zoom where people can do a live class with me. It's roughly 30 minutes, and then there will be a little bit of time afterwards to ask any questions that participants might have or give any feedback, stuff that maybe didn't quite feel that nice in the body or right, or anything that people wanted to feedback. And that's happening this Saturday.
I can hear that you're quite passionate about yoga. I mean, What do you get out of it, and what do you want people who come to the sessions to get out of it? Because it's quite a different form of exercise in a way that it's not just all about physical movement. It's also about mindfulness and other aspects as well.
Yes. So I'm a mover by trade. I'm a trained dancer by my first education, and then I did my yoga training on top of that. And I think for me, what is really the beauty of yoga is that it brings movement and mindfulness together, and it really helps. It strengthens the body, but it also calms the mind, and using the different breathing techniques. And I feel with yoga in particular, it really lends itself to people with visual impairment, because ideally, if we're practicing, whether we have vision or not, we shouldn't really be looking outwards to what is happening around us, but actually follow the words of the teacher as we move through our practice. And the less we can, even if we have vision, look at what's happening around us, the better. So I've really felt that is an offering that would really benefit those with visual impairments. And I just love movement. I love breathing. I love bringing that together, mindfulness, moving with intent and moving with checking constantly in. It's like, how does that feel in my body? And what does that do? And the shavasana, the relaxation at the end, is just pure bliss.
That's a really important point, though, thinking about how it feels in your body, because I know a few people that I know have had sort of negative experiences with yoga and people trying to get them in positions that their body doesn't want to go in. And that's not what it's about, is it? It's about doing what feels comfortable and what feels right in your body.
Exactly. And you're totally right. I think there's a real sort of, If we're teaching yoga as teachers, I think it's really important to obviously keep our students safe and to make sure that they're moving within their boundaries, and maybe also kind of like test their boundaries a little bit, but always looking at each student individually and seeing where do they start, what do they bring with them to the table, and how can I support them in their own unique way of moving. In general, when we're moving, when we're in a yoga class or in any movement class, my body and how it wants to move is completely different to the person next to me. We have different experiences. We can go through the same yoga class, but find different positions challenging. So it's always honoring that and finding a way of how to move through that and to find what feels good in your body. And if something doesn't feel right, you know, then I always say, if it's a little bit uncomfortable, it might just be that you're doing something that's completely new. If there's pain, there's no need to push through that. There's no need to work through pain. That's not what yoga should be about. You might find that there are certain positions that feel, ooh, there's a bit of a stretch here or a bit of a challenge there. In a plank, for example, you find that your arms are shaking or your core is getting, you know, is really working hard. And that's fine. But if you're having pain in a position, then maybe that position isn't for you at this moment of your practice. Doesn't mean that this position is never for you, but maybe right now it's not the right thing to practice. So I think it's really important to offer that space as a teacher for exploration and for people to explore how their bodies move and what feels good. And good doesn't mean that it needs to feel comfortable all the time, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. No, it does. It's a really important point to cover as well. So if people are coming to the taster session on Saturday, what kind of stuff can they expect and how can we find out more and maybe sign up?
Sure. So what they can expect is, as I said, roughly half an hour of a sequence. It's usually for those who are very new to yoga and maybe have not done any kind of yoga, there will always be some form of mindfulness, of centering, of breathing at the beginning, just to honor where your body and your mind are at in that specific moment. Then there will be a little bit of warm up, and then we'll work ourselves up to more stronger positions in our standing sequence. And then we'll have a cool down and a coming and closing of the practice. And then afterwards, what's really important to me is to have feedback and have conversations with the participants to understand what worked for them, what didn't work for them. And the way of signing up at the moment, because this project is fairly in its baby steps and baby shoes still, is to simply write me an email. So I will spell the email out because I'm aware that my surname is quite tricky. So the email is hello@hannawroblewski.com, and it's spelled hello at, and then it's hannawroblewski.com.
Amazing. Thank you so much for joining us, Hannah.
My pleasure. My absolute pleasure. Thank you for having me, Ellie.